This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Ronnie!
Yes, sir.
How's it going tonight?
It's going.
You want to talk about some pro wrestling, Ronnie?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about professional wrestling. I guess we really need to start with the biggest news of the week today. You know, 2 days before the pay-per-view, WWE announces that Kurt Angle is going to be making his return to the ring, replacing Roman Reigns, essentially nixing the Shield reunion match at TLC. And then they also announced that Bray Wyatt's not going to be wrestling against Finn Balor, which, thank God, we all got saved from the Sister Abigail bullshit. But instead, we're getting the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, against the Demon King, Finn Balor.
With no build, right?
With no build whatsoever, so...
Yeah.
I guess... I understand their point of view, I guess, where it's their two biggest matches of the show. The reunion of the Shield, which fans seem to be genuinely excited about, and then, you know, the build of Bray Wyatt against Finn Balor, you know, for their umpteenth match, and both those guys are out, so you got to replace them with somebody or something big, and, you know, I don't think you need to bring them both out. I don't think you need to put Styles and Angle on the show, though.
Yeah, see, and you and I, or we were talking offline, or off podcast, I guess, about it. There's so many people that you could have plugged in there, right? With Sheamus and Cesaro in the match, you could have plugged Matt in there.
Yeah, Matt Hardy could join them.
Yeah.
Or something. I feel like I want to see Kurt Angle in the ring again in the WWE. Absolutely. But shouldn't we have some build? A feud, an angle, you know, a slow build, tease it, you know, make it happen. And then AJ Styles against Finn Balor. Or who the hell doesn't want that match?
But again, not at TLC.
Not 2 days before a no build. Just, hey, this is what we're doing now. We're going to bring the guy from SmackDown over to Raw. You don't have an inner promotion. And that's the other thing, too. AJ Styles is a SmackDown guy.
Yeah.
You know? So, this is a match that we should, like... They should have both been in the Royal Rumble, and they both should have had some action against each other, and then it could have built to the interpromotional match at WrestleMania. And that's where that first match should happen, is WrestleMania.
Right. Or Clash of the Champions, where it's inter both brands, like you guys were talking about, or Survivor Series, or something. I saw the reports trickling down, of course, that, I mean, it's rumor and innuendo at this point, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce Pritchard, for that.
Yeah. But, the reports coming down is that this viral infection that's been going around has been going around for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, wouldn't you have a plan B and not be these two guys as plan B? Does that make sense?
You would think.
But,
you
know.
You would think.
Because...
I mean, Kurt Angle commented on his return to the ring, you know, on Instagram. He just wrote, "It's true. Oh, it's damn true. You'll be careful, Russell, alongside the Shield at TLC this Sunday."
Right. And do you see Daniel Bryan's tweet, too?
Nope, I did not see his tweet.
Yeah, because he, like, quote tweeted the announcement from WWE Twitter account.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, that's pretty... I don't remember the exact quote. And then he had, like, the thinking smiley face on it. So, like, obviously, they're saying that he can't wrestle, and then he's been cleared by... Kurt Angle can, yeah.
Yeah. When you watch Kurt Angle moving, he can't turn his head left to right, really.
Right.
He's got to turn his whole upper body.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's... Yeah. Well, you saw on SmackDown this past week when they had that great promo in the ring with Sami Zayn and AJ Styles and and eventually Kevin Owens when Sami Zayn said something along the like, you know, like, I'm still an in-ring competitor. You're not, at least until September. And
right, yes. Until September.
I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, well, you know, at least until September. I thought that was
funny.
Yes,
that was great.
So, but anyways.
Okay, so your hype going into TLC, right? Before the announcement today was a, what, 6 out of 10? 5 out of 10?
My excitement going into it before the changes today. It was, I have to work that night. I'll watch it at some point. So I wasn't overly excited about it. But honestly, now with AJ Styles and Finn Balor wrestling, yeah, I'm excited. I want to see this match. This match should be the main event.
Yeah. No, that's what I was curious about is like, if you were like, meh, it's a 5 out of 10, I'll watch it when I watch it. But then after the announcement.
Well, that's kind of how I felt. Yeah, that's basically how I felt. I don't know about a rating, but it was just a, I'll watch it when I watch it. You know, I got to work at 9 o'clock that night. You know, Pats are playing Sunday night, so we'll watch that game at work. And then, you know, when that game gets over, midnight-ish, then maybe I'll pull my tablet out, fire up the old WWE Network, and give it a watch. You know, it wasn't – and I wouldn't have cared if I would have had spoilers ruin it for me. Right. But now I'm going to be avoiding the internet and because I don't want to know how it finished. I don't want to – and honestly, it's just Styles and Balor that's got me excited. You know, it's not – you know, it'd be cool to see Kurt Angle in the ring, but it doesn't got me all worked up or anything.
Right, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it is what it is.
Yep, totally agree. Yep. I was just.
But anyhow, go ahead.
No, I was just curious on if it amped up your viewing, wanting to watch it more.
I mean, that one match, at least, yeah, it did.
Yeah, I can see. You know. Yeah.
Is there anything from Raw or SmackDown this week you want to touch on?
Actually, there is.
Yeah, what?
During the Cesaro-Sheamus tag team match, did you notice that the non-legal person got pinned?
Yep.
Okay. Because Aaron and I were messing each other off, and I shot that out to him. And I was like, that's the like, craziest thing ever, but I mean, it's on par here lately with the programming, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes that could be just a part of the angle.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Like missing the foot on the ropes or the tights or whatever.
Yeah.
I just thought it was unusual because Michael Cole or Corey or whatever didn't even highlight it or bring it up either.
I did enjoy what was it? I'm enjoying Sami Zayn's heel turn.
Yes.
I like the fact that he's like, I'm still the same fun, lovable guy. I just now see in front of me that, you know, catering to the fans and everything didn't get me anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So I like his attitude now.
Totally and, agree.
Yeah. So I'm digging it because it makes sense to him, and that's what being a good heel is all about. It means when you're a good heel, what you believe in, and is you make it make sense to you, and even if and the rest of us should think it's bullshit.
Right.
So yeah, I like it.
I'm with you on that. Actually, this is probably the most excited I've seen Sammy or me towards Sammy coming out than like the first couple of months he debuted.
Yeah, it definitely has made him interesting again. It's definitely made him more made him interesting again. I mean, he's basically been, you know, Dolph Ziggler-ing it for so long,
right,
where the fans are behind him and he loses constantly. Mm-hmm. And now Dolph is going heel, and now Sammy's going heel. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyhow, TLC, this Sunday night, 7 matches. Let's break it down. Let's talk about it. Let's chit-chat. So the pre-show match, we got Sasha Banks against Alicia Fox. Honestly, I'm thinking, it's got to be Sasha Banks that's going to win. But they have been kind of pushing Fox a little bit lately, so it wouldn't surprise me to see her get a win to try to bring her back into the women's division, because you just can't lose constantly. But, I mean, I know they do that to people. Yeah. But, what's your take on that?
I know, first of all, it, as a fan, it frustrates me that Sasha's on the pre-card or the pre-show.
Pre-show, yeah.
And I know that we've heard interviews from wrestlers that it doesn't matter as long as you're on the card, whether it's pre-show or...
I don't know. Pre-show SummerSlam, Miz's is a 6-man tag match, and they come out, and there's no fans.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Of course, that did lead to a pretty awesome friggin' promo by Miz.
Yes, it did.
You know, honestly, Sasha Banks being against Alicia Fox on the pre-show doesn't... If you look at the rest of the card, the only other match I could see being on the... Well, the only other two matches I could see they would swap out for would be the Cruiserweight title match or the Cruiserweight tag team match.
Right. So, yeah, but I was just you used Miz there as an example, and it lit the fire under him, right? So, does this light the fire under Sasha? Because you said, or you referenced cruising or Dolph Ziggler-ing with Sammy, and I feel that Sasha's been doing that here lately.
Yep.
So, does that light the fire under her because she's in the pre-show? But I don't know.
See, Sami Zayn, though, unlike Sasha, really hasn't gone anywhere on the main roster.
Roster.
I'm from Maine. Whereas, you know, Sasha's a 3-time Raw Women's Champion and main evented Hell in the Cell pay-per-view.
Right, right. Yeah.
Gotten a pretty great push, you know. Whereas Sammy just had fan appreciation and basically no push. So we'll see.
To get back to the...
Paul picked Sasha Banks, by the way.
Yeah, and Aaron didn't give that pick.
Oh, well.
So, but I will probably... I'm going to go with Sasha myself.
I'm going to go with Foxy.
Odd man out.
I'm going to go with Foxy on that one. We'll see what happens, but... Let's get to the main card. Women's title match, Alexa Bliss against Mickie James. It's going to be Alexa
Bliss. Yeah, there's no rhyme or...
Yeah, Paul also picked Bliss. You know, they've done an angle to build towards the match. You're old, but I heard a long time ago from and Chris Jericho cutting a promo talking about how old his opponent is and on and on and on, and his opponent's going, you know, listen... When I beat you, and I am going to beat you, you just got beat by an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas opposed, if you beat me, you beat up an old man. You didn't do yourself any good at all in that promo. And I remember that. You know what I mean? You don't want to talk. You want to basically say, oh, my opponent's a piece of trash, and I'm going to beat him. But you don't want to belittle them by saying, oh, he's just an old man. He's so worthless, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
In that way, and that's kind of how I feel they're doing Alexa Bliss with Mickie James. Alexa Bliss just going like, oh, you're so old, you've been here so long.
Right.
But Mickie James will be making history.
Really?
She will be the only woman in the company, and I don't think anyone else could do this, who has competed for, not won or held, but competed for every single woman's title. I'll take that back then, but every single woman's singles championship that they've had in the company's history, because you had the original women's championship, mm-hmm. which she right. held, the Divas title. She challenged Asuka for the NXT championship, and now she's challenged for the SmackDown championship, and now the Raw championship.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. The only one she didn't was back in the mid to late 80s, they had the tag team, the women's tag team
right,
titles.
Right.
Which I've heard they may bring back, so. But, yeah, so that is kind of historic. And I wanted to bring this up as well at the last pay-per-view when Charlotte and Natty wrestled for the SmackDown Women's mm-hmm. title. They have competed against each other for the NXT Divas Raw Women's and SmackDown Women's title.
Wow.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
So the only one that they're missing is the pre, yeah. the 90s one, right?
Yeah, yeah, the original women's yeah. title that was, yeah. yep, exactly. So, I thought that was pretty mm-hmm. neat. I'm going Alexa Bliss. Like I said, Paul is. What about Aaron?
He said that they should. What did he say? He said that they
should get like 20 minutes.
Right? Yeah, they should get 20 minutes, but they'll only get two.
Oh no! That was Asuka. Emma should get 20, but we'll only get three. Everything else would be terrible. Okay.
And I'm going to go Bliss, too, because I don't really see them putting it on no. Mickey.
I mean, Jinder Mahal, shitty fucking wrestler, has been the champion now for months, well, but you never know, yeah. I guess. And just a sidebar, him challenging Brock Lesnar for Survivor Series does nothing
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, nothing.
It does absolutely nothing for me, because honestly, I mean, if Mahal somehow beats Lesnar, it's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah. Well,
an absolute disgrace.
And sidebar from that to our cold open that we did, AJ just came out and inserted him. So not only is he competing at the Raw pay-per-view on Sunday,
yeah,
he's yeah. battling Jinder for the belt on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
His Sunday match will be much better. Yes. So anyways.
Yes, they will.
5-on-3 handicap match. And this is friggin' dumb, too. A 5-on-3 handicap TLC match, incidentally. And I will say this, though. Typically, at TLC's pay-per-views in the past, every match has been a stipulation of some kind, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. So each match in the past has either had a table, a ladder, or a chair right. in it.
Yeah, like last year you had a 10-man tag, a women's tag, a no DQ match, a ladder match, a chairs match, a tables match, and a TLC mm-hmm. match. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this year, you know, you have a singles match, Raw women's title match, singles match, single match for the cruiserweight title, tag team match, a singles match, and a 5-on-3 handicap TLC match.
Right.
So there's only one stipulation match, which I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. We don't need to have a full card of stipulation
right.
matches. But again, I don't think we should have a pay-per-view called TLC. I don't think you should have a pay-per-view once a year where you have a TLC match just because it's the name of the pay-per-view. It's like having a Hell in a Cell match just because the pay-per-view call is called Hell
Correct.
In a Cell.
Yeah.
Now, it's different. Royal Rumble is the Royal mm-hmm. Rumble. Survivor Series back in the day, we had teams of five will survive. That made sense. That's why it was the Survivor right. Series. An Elimination Chamber pay-per-view match? Okay, that makes sense because you have an Elimination Chamber match and you have these six guys that enter it and they get a title shot if they win, or they win the title if
right.
they win. So that makes sense.
Yep.
To have a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules or TLC makes no sense to me.
Yep.
Because all those special stipulation matches should be the culmination of a feud, not just to have
right.
them. Hold on, please. There's some air went down the wrong tube. But anyways, I digress. 5-on-3 handicap TLC match where you have Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and now Kurt Angle replacing the virus-infected Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman, Cesaro, Kane, The Miz, and Sheamus. And honestly, if the team of five can't beat the team of three, then there's something wrong. That's how I genuinely feel about it. There's no way the three of them should beat the five of them.
Yeah, but you have a legend on one side now.
I don't care.
I know, but
he should be the reason they lose then. He's the one that gets the pin, gets pinned or whatever. But there's no way that the three of those guys should beat the five of those guys. It just shouldn't happen. It brings it harkens back to the day when you had the fucking 10-on-2 Dungeon of Doom and Horsemen against Hogan and Savage in the three-tier cage at WCW Uncensored. Yeah, like there's no way Hogan and Savage should have won that match. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous notion.
Or the one versus all Royal Rumble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's see here. Paul's picked Team Angle. The Shangle should
be. I'm going Team the Miztourage due to outside interference.
You can't have... It's a TLC match.
Oh, true. Damn. It's no DQ. Well, I know, but I mean, not DQ.
Oh, look, more guys are going to come down? So now it's going to take 10 guys to beat three guys? That's even worse.
What I'm saying is, like... With Angle in there, there has to be another Angle somewhere, right? So it could be Miz and Angle going one-on-one, and then Daniel Bryan comes out and screws Angle over, or something like that. That's what I was saying.
All right. Emma against the debuting Asuka. Come on.
Yeah.
Asuka's going to kick her face in, probably. Yeah.
Asuka, hands down.
Yeah, Paul picked Asuka. And again, Aaron's pick was Asuka and Emma should get 20 minutes, but it'll probably get 3. Asuka and Emma had a great match in NXT back in the day, so, I mean, the potential of having a great match is there. Yeah. So, let's just see, I guess. Cruiserweight champion Kalisto with his new black leather strap Cruiserweight championship belt taking on Enzo Amore.
When did that debut?
They posted a picture on their social media.
Well, I was just curious because on Raw, it was purple still.
Yeah, I think it was just Tuesday, maybe on 205 Live it debuted, or Wednesday or something like that, down in Buenos Aires. But anyways, I don't know. Let's see here. Paul's got Enzo going over. Most likely Enzo will probably win. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of this angle, so I haven't really been following it. Because I don't care about Enzo Amore. What's your pick?
I'm going to go with Enzo, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... I guess I know why they put him on 205 Live, which...
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, without Cass, that's probably where he would excel. But they put him on there to try to bump up the ratings, and I don't think it's working. But...
My most favorite
is that a correct phrase? Angle of that whole thing is when the whole locker room came down and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was the post show beatdown.
Yeah. Was it post show? I thought it was like the main event. Yeah,
it happened off air. Oh. It happened after Raw went off the air.
Okay. All right. Because I knew Strowman came down off air, but I didn't know the beatdown actually happened off air.
Well, it happened after Strowman came down and beat him up and said he's all yours.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That's what made it good.
Yeah.
That's what made it entertaining.
Yeah.
Next up. All right. So, the Brian Kendrick and Gentleman Jack Gallagher against Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann in a tag team contest. You know... Realistically, this match has potential to be pretty friggin' awesome.
Yep.
These four guys can go, and they're athletic, and they're entertaining, and they can wrestle, and they can work. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we're gonna get. I don't know what we're gonna get out of it, but I mean, this does have the potential to be a pretty excellent match.
Yep. And I think Jack Gallagher's heel turn made him interesting again as well.
I agree. Because he has the I'm a proper British guy who can be a
heel. He has the old Regal, Stephen Regal style.
Yes, absolutely. Paul's picked Team Swan. I'm going to go with Kendrick and Gallagher.
Um, I'll go with Cedric and Swan.
And the best match of the night, the singles contest against from the phenomenal AJ Styles taking on the Demon King Finn Balor. And I gotta be honest, I don't even know if I care who wins, because I'm just gonna be blown away by how great this match is gonna be.
This is polarizing in itself, because for one, like we already talked about 3 or 4 times, there is no build for it. And but also because both guys are faces.
Yep, which that's fine. That can
work. It can work. But
I don't know who the fans are going to cheer for more.
Yeah, it's going to be. I was going to say that this would probably get the loudest pop of the night, but Kurt will probably get the
Kurt Angle wrestling in the ring. Yeah, that's going to get the nostalgia pop. That's going to get the nostalgia.
I'm going to go with Finn just because it's Raw and AJ's got the quote-unquote big match on Tuesday.
Paul went with Balor. And
While you think about it, if Roman does have meningitis, right? Or is it just Bo and Bray and JoJo that has meningitis?
Who knows? But anyways, if he does have it.
I'm just curious, because bringing a star like AJ from SmackDown to replace Roman on Raw, which, I mean, that's a no-brainer for me and you, whether it's meningitis or not or whatever. But I'm just saying, is that the thought of bringing your big star from one brand to the other to get him to stay on Raw? Do you see what I'm saying? If it's going to be an expended amount of time out.
Roman Reigns as well. See, the thing is, though, the company can function without bringing Roman Reigns on Raw. There's enough talent over there, I think. I mean, well, maybe not.
No, I don't. No. I mean, you got Finn.
You got Finn.
And, I mean, for singles guys, I mean, you got Miz, and then you got Seth and Dean. Yeah. Right?
Right. Huh. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because, I mean, on the SmackDown side, you'll still have Shiver Mahal, and you'll have Nakamura, and you'll have Rude. So, I mean, that side's still
set. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Kevin Owens and Sami.
Yep. No, I see what you're saying with that. This is me personally, my thought process, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick between Balor and AJ Styles, I think I'd have to go with AJ Styles, because I'm a bigger fan of his than Balor's. I know this match is going to kick ass no matter what.
Right.
No matter what, it's going to be awesome. I almost wish they wouldn't have advertised the match happening. It would have been cool to have a surprise, either advertise AJ or advertise Angle, or have a surprise, or have one of them be a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, like when the Shield comes out and they're like, you know, our third partner, and then, you know, Kurt Angle's music kicks on, and at first they're gonna think, oh, he's gonna come out to announce who their partner's gonna be, but then he walks out in his gear, people would lose their shit.
Right,
but
yes.
Maybe they're hoping the people that don't have the network and they still buy the pay-per-view through. Okay, for whatever reason, if you don't have the WWE network and you just buy the pay-per-view through your cable provider for $40 instead of just buying a month of the network, you're stupid.
Special kind
of
You're a special kind of stupid.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, sincerely, you can buy a month of the network for $10.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Just my opinion there on that one. But anyways, it would have been nice to have one of them be a surprise, but gun to my head, if I have to pick either one, I'm going to go with AJ Styles because I'm just a bigger fan of his. But I won't be disappointed if he loses.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, unlike when the idea of AJ Styles wrestling Jinder Mahal, I don't even want to watch the match. If this finish is going to be that Jinder Mahal pins Styles, because Jinder Mahal's a jobber. And he is still a jobber to me. He had no build to take him out of the world of being a jobber, other than same thing with Bray Wyatt. When Bray Wyatt won the TLC match, I mean the Elimination Chamber match to win the title,
mm-hmm.
pinning. I was just like, holy shit, like I was surprised, I couldn't believe it. But like, again, Bray Wyatt, just jobber,
yeah.
practically. I mean, yeah. he's a glorified jobber.
Yeah. Which he shouldn't be.
Which he shouldn't be, but he is.
Kind of a bad example yeah. because.
But Jinder Mahal is just, he's a jobber. And he's a jobber who they put the title on. And I just, and he's got the Bollywood boys with him who, you know, didn't do anything in the WWE prior. And it's just, and I think the thing that burns my ass the most about it is that instead of putting the title on someone who deserves it, in my opinion, who's earned it, in my opinion, they put it on a guy who the only reason why is because he's Canadian with Indian heritage and they're trying to break into the Indian market. And I think that's the other part that burns my ass, because to me that belittles the title. And I guess I should get over it. And I guess I should just accept that in this day and age the titles don't mean anything, that they're just props and whatever. But I can't. To me, they still mean something.
Yep. And your point right there is the reason why I didn't watch the last SmackDown pay-per-view, because I didn't want to see Nakamura get pinned clean in the fucking ring by him.
Yep. Yep. I know. I did. I watched it. I watched it at work, but I watched it, and I was just like, motherfucker.
Yep. That's why I turned it off like right before that. I think Bobby Roode was my last match that I watched. Yeah. And then I was like, I told Aaron, I was like, just text me and tell me who wins, because I'm turning it off.
You know, it's like, I feel bad almost, because like my son, he's 11, he loves wrestling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to him, like, I don't think the championships mean anything to him like they do to me.
Yeah, right.
Because he's grown up in this world where the world of the prop.
Yep.
And then you have promotions like Limitless Wrestling who don't even have a championship, because why do they need one? We'll just put on great matches. We don't need to have a title.
Right.
And I get it. You know, mm-hmm. I completely get what he's saying from, where he's coming from. But I don't know. I'm still old school. I still feel like a championship means something. Like, you know, like the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship to me still means something. And it's... You know, the 10 pounds of gold, that Dome Globe belt, that classic belt, you know, it still means something to me, even though it hasn't been presented in the best of lights or hasn't been given a national... The promotional machine behind the NWA hasn't been the best the last few years. You know what I mean? It hasn't been. And maybe with Billy Corgan, it will be. I mean, if you follow them, their Instagram, their Twitter, their Facebook, their YouTube, NWA Wrestling, you know, they're pushing their NWA World Champion. They're putting over Tim Storm. They're trying to show that the title means something. They're trying to show that that, you know, he's been the champion for a year now, and they're trying to get him some promotional national recognition. I mean, not promotional, but national recognition. And I reached out to Dave Lagana and said, hey, we'd love to have Tim Storm on the show. I'd love to talk to him. I'd be honored to have the NWA World's Champion on the show to talk about him and his career and where he sees the NWA going. And his response was, okay. So I don't know if that's a yes or a no, but so I kind of sent a follow-up message, and I haven't gotten a response to that yet. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, but I don't know. That's where it gets frustrating to me, but... So prior to, like we talked about, prior to this AJ Styles Finn Balor edition, I was definitely going to watch the pay-per-view, but I'll be watching it a little bit more, with a little bit more excitement at least for that match.
Right.
Than I would have for Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor.
Yeah. Or Sister Abigail and the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah, don't... Yeah.
What?
Sister Abigail. That's just,
I know.
That's just a...
It's dumb.
Disgrace. It is dumb.
It's dumb. Because it's a great concept and a great idea.
Right? Hey, you know what I am excited about?
What?
I'm excited about NXT TakeOver Houston.
Oh, yes.
November the 18th, Houston, Texas. War Games is back. And they've announced it. It is going to be a real War Games match. Two rings, big steel cage, enclosed, you know. Mm-hmm. You got three teams. You got the Undisputed Era of Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly against the Authors of Pain with Roderick Strong against Sanity, Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and Killian Dane. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, also on the show is going to be Aleister Overeem against Aleister Overeem. God, I combined Aleister Black in the Velveteen Dream into MMA fighter Aleister Overeem. Anyways, Aleister Black against Velveteen Dream, Cassius Ohno against Lars Sullivan, Drew McIntyre defending the NXT Championship against Andrei Cien Almas. And then for the vacant women's championship, Ember Moon versus Kairi Sane versus Nikki Cross versus Peyton Royce. And I feel like
in the main event, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's the main event or if the War Games match will be.
It's not Adam Cole versus Drew Galloway with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee?
No. That's on Friday the 17th.
Oh.
It's a house show match in San Antonio the day before. That's not on the event. Okay. Adam Cole is in the War Games match, and Drew McIntyre is defending against Almas. I just said that, Ronnie.
I know. All right. I was actually thinking about the Cassius Ohno match.
Yep.
Because that match should be a hard-hitting match.
I'm a Lars Sullivan fan. He's a big, badass dude, and I'm loving his matches with Oney Lorcan. I just like to see Oney come out on the winning end once in a while on TV.
Yeah.
But, going back to the women's Fatal 4-Way, I mean, I feel like Kairi Sane... I feel like Ember Moon's going to win the title, but it almost seems like Kairi Sane's the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll see.
And who was the other two?
Peyton Royce and Nikki Cross.
So it'll probably be Peyton that wins then?
No, I feel like it'll be Ember Moon.
Because we know that Kairi is deserving of the title.
Right.
And Nikki Cross, I believe, is deserving of the title.
Oh, I see where you're going with. You're going to give it to the person you don't think deserves it.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, I will say this. When Peyton Royce does her fisherman suplex, her bridge is crazy awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
The way she bridges maybe, up. It's kind of like...
And she's not as bad in the ring as she once was, so maybe I'm just down on her, I guess.
Maybe.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense. So, anyhow, moving on, because that's not for another month.
Yeah, right.
So, real quick, I'd like to chat up Limitless Wrestling Hybrid Moments Show coming up on Friday, November the 3rd, 2 weeks away. And today they had to announce a venue change. Previously, it was going to be in Westbrook at the Armory, where they've had shows the last several months, every other month. They had to move it to the Portland Club in Portland because of a military event at the Armory, which kind of stinks for them because it's a smaller venue, and he's losing about 75 people.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, seventy-five people.
That's a big hit.
You know, it honestly really is. It's like a grand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, like,
and especially for a smaller indie promotion.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, $15 a pop for the tickets for general admission. You know, 75 tickets, that's $1,100.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got a stacked card of talent coming in. I mean, listen to this card: Matt Cross, M-Dog 20. Son of Havoc for Lucha Underground, whatever you want to call him, taking on Petey Williams, the originator of the Canadian Destroyer, the most bastardized move in wrestling now.
Yes.
It's to the point where I don't even want to see him do it.
Right.
Or tell everyone that's on the card that night they're not allowed to do it.
Right.
First time ever, Teddy Hart against Josh Briggs. There's some drama there. It may not happen. Mm-hmm. Grudge match. I'm supposed to be the main event. JT Dunne against Anthony Green. That should be a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
First time ever, Maxwell Jacob Friedman against Jonathan Gresham. if you guys aren't familiar with these names, make yourself familiar with every name I've said so far. Jonathan Grisham is a great mat-based technical wrestler. They call him the Octopus because he ties people up in pretzels and whatnot. He's a great he's a practitioner of the Jim Breaks. Jim mm-hmm. Breaks arm lock. Which I love watching him and the only two guys I know that do it these days are him and Zack Sabre Jr. And then Maxwell Jacob Friedman's an indie guy. He's been wrestling on the East Coast, CZW. He's been making a name for himself. Going overseas a little bit, I believe, and he's just getting better and better and better. He's a great heel. He makes it very easy to hate him. First time ever, Christian Casanova against Ethan Page. So that should be a good match. Christian Casanova likes to do a Michael Jackson gimmick.
Wow.
And then also appearing on the card, the Thick Boys, Jay Freddy and John Silver, the Main State Posse, Danger Kid and Alexander Lee, but they have not been announced as taking each other on or whatever. Mr. Grimm is on the card, Cam Zagami's on the card, and they announced that they're going to have a six-woman scramble. Now, Limitless Wrestling is famous for their, I say famous or infamous, for having a scramble match on the card every show, and it's always usually men wrestlers. And they have varied, like, the guys that are in it, it doesn't make sense. You'll have a giant in height, a giant in weight, a cruiserweight, you know, it's kind of crazy the complexity of the guys they put in these six-way scramble matches. And I really, really enjoy them. I really enjoy them a lot. So they announced that at this show, they're going to have a women's six-way scramble. However, they have now announced seven women to be wrestling on the show. But wow. They haven't announced who's in the scramble yet, so that's kind of cool. You have New England stalwart Daveen, Kennedy Copeland, and Skylar, and Tara Calloway, and Willow Nightingale, and nationally known, if you will, Jessica Havoc, former TNA Impact Women's Champion. And also, they've just added Jordan Grace to the card. So there's seven women announced. It'll be interesting to see which seven are in it. The one who's not going to be in it, what she's going to be doing. Mm-hmm. I know my buddy Mikey's pushing for them to bring Lufisto on the show, an eighth woman, and have Lufisto and Jordan Grace team up. They are Team Pog. Do you know what a Pog is? P-A-W-G?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Have Team – that's their wrestling name, Team Pog. Have them taking on the Main State Posse of Danger Kid and Alexander Lee. So we shall see what happens.
So – what exactly is a scramble match?
WWE's done them. It's all six of them. It's just six people at once, one fall to a finish. No tagging in and out. Everyone in the match at the same time. Falls only count in the ring, or falls or submissions only count in the ring. No countouts, no disqualifications. It's not a no-holds-barred match per se, but the mm-hmm. last one they did bring a table out and busted up a table. But yeah, it's just six-way mayhem, whatever you want to call it. But
that's fine.
They all start at once. There's no one at a time coming in the ring or anything either.
Okay.
Yep.
I was just curious. I had an idea, but I wanted to make sure, and then I didn't know if the listeners knew what it was either.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, that's perfectly fine. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Of course, my son and I are going down. We have front row tickets.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jumping around a little bit, you see Jimmy Jacobs got himself fired from the WWE for taking a selfie with the Bullet Club.
I saw that.
When they did their invasion. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also heard that there's a lot of people backstage that were mad about it, too.
Yeah. About him doing it or about him being fired?
About him being fired.
I heard there was a lot of people backstage that were angry about him doing the photo.
Really?
Well, so, huh? But he came out on a Ring of Honor show, post-show, not on TV, not on the pay-per-view, but post-show only. He uh-huh. came out, and as the Bullet Club were talking, oh, we need to do a picture together. Yeah, let's get a selfie. And then so Jimmy Jacobs came out and took the selfie with them.
Yeah.
And now he's already been advertised to appear at Beyond Wrestling here in a couple mm-hmm. weeks. And also on November 19th, the same day as WrestleMania, as Survivor Series, at a matinee show, 3 p.m. bell time in Gorham, Maine, he's appearing, and he's supposed to be wrestling Jimmy Jacobs.
Because he is the unprofessional wrestler.
He is the unprofessional wrestler now, yep.
Yep.
So we'll see. I mean, like, when they announced him, I was like, is he wrestling or just making an appearance? Because he hasn't wrestled in a long time. He was in a writer's role.
Yeah.
Like, for all intents and purposes, I thought he had retired from the ring.
Right, yeah.
And you know.
Yeah.
Not for nothing. He's probably got some ring rust on him.
Yeah, probably so.
Because, yeah, I don't remember the last time he had a match, but I bet you it's been a year.
It's been since, like, NXT, right?
He never wrestled in NXT.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought. All right.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Jacobs, he was signed as a writer. I remember, like, hearing that and thinking, like, that was kind of odd, but...
Okay, yeah. Because he was wrestling on the independents and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, with Ring of Honor, but way back then, right? Because he was tag champ back then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's the same thing as, like, you know, Drake Younger being signed by... WWE, and he was a known pretty hardcore deathmatch wrestler, a good wrestler in his own account, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he's a referee.
Right.
He's a damn good referee, but he's a referee now. So, right. Jimmy Jacobs' last match was March 27th, 2015 at Supercard of Honor 9. In California, okay. where he lost to BJ Whitmer in a no DQ match.
All right. So yeah, it's been a while.
So he hasn't wrestled in 2.5 years.
Yep.
By the time he wrestles here in Maine in November.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Before we get off the Ring of Honor thing.
Sure.
Did you see where Cody was doing a promo with a fan? A quote unquote fan that had a
Lucha
mask on.
Yeah, that was awesome. And he ripped the mask off. It was Dalton Castle.
Yep.
That was pretty sweet. That was one sweet, all right.
Yes, that was one sweet.
Okay. WWE sending a cease and desist the Young Bucks for the two sweet thing. That's just making them look like, you know, the big bad corporate monsters. You know, that really does make them look bad. And now, like, They're comment, like, I saw today on WWE, I don't know if it was their Twitter or something, they made a comment about, like, Angle coming back and how it was too sweet.
Yes.
You know, and it's just like, come on.
Yeah. Now that you're just using it to use it because you can.
But it's almost like the Young Bucks, like, you know what, fine. We won't use too sweet anymore. We don't even need it anymore. We're bigger than that now.
Right.
You know, we can do this on our own, or, you know, blah blah blah.
So, mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe they can as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. So. And I mean, that's just like throwing the middle finger up and being like, well, we'll start our own shit then.
Right. Yeah. Well, they have the one suite.
Well, right. I know. I'm just saying, you know, and promote the hell out of it, and then they'll get more use out of it than Too Sweet.
Yeah. Probably. Well, I love how they immediately put a t-shirt up that was, you know, look Bullet Club-esque with cease and desist, and then it's censored over the one too sweet and all that stuff, and then now they've released a one sweet t-shirt, and yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Marketing geniuses.
Yeah, it is. Good for them. Good for them. In other wrestling news, Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, Brother Ray, whatever you want to call him, has officially announced his retirement from wrestling.
Yeah.
Over the Ring of Honor 4-day tour they did, the Global Wars tour they did here with some New Japan fellas. I would have loved to go to one of those shows to see Minoru Suzuki, by the way, Russell. Like, that would have been just flipping awesome to see and meet Minoru Suzuki, because A, I'm afraid of him, because he just looks crazy.
Yeah,
right. You know, and beats up the young boys all the time. And,
oh yeah,
yeah. And B, just because it would have been awesome to see them, and even Kenny Omega live. But anyhow, So yeah, he cut some promos about the shows, and then I guess on the last day of the tour, like, he went out to cut a promo to thank the fans and whatnot. But I guess on the last day, he officially announced his retirement. And whether he stays to it or not, who knows? But he's hoping to stay on as a role with Ring of Honor to, like, go to shows and do meet and greets and stuff like that with the fans. But
yeah, I can't see him staying away.
Yeah.
Whether he stays out of the ring or not,
well,
is one thing, but I can't see him not having a role in a company, whether it's Ring of Honor or whatever.
Right. I mean, and honestly, he probably would be a great road agent or producer, whatever you want to call him now, for WWE. I mean, he has a mind for wrestling.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time believing, like, he took that weird shot in the head from the table or whatever it was.
Yes.
And I just think of the chair shots he took from Balls Mahoney.
Oh, yeah. Good
and
Lord.
And it's like that table shot is what is ending it for him. You know, not when...
That's like getting hit with a pillow compared to this.
Balls Mahoney hitting you in the head with a chair is just...
Thunderous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah.
It does sound like a shotgun going off. But, I don't know. But, if it is, it is. It's not like he didn't have a good run, didn't have a good career.
That's right.
And what was the other wrestling thing I just thought of I wanted to bring up? The other bit of wrestling news. I had it, and now I've lost it. It's too bad. Talking about Bully Ray. No biggie dealy. So anyways, TLC this week, and I guess that kind of wraps it up from... Oh, you know what? I talked about this earlier. I kind of glazed over it, but I'm going to bring it back up. Teddy Hart. So Teddy Hart has kind of developed himself a bit of a reputation. And incidentally, right now, I just got to say this. I'm pulling up my Twitter. This guy, I follow Brian DeBrain. He makes the Battle of Los Angeles trading card sets that I buy for PWG.
Okay. Right.
He's just tweeted, so Dave Meltzer is sitting next to Ron Jeremy at PWG right now. What a world we live in. that is pretty funny.
That
yeah.
So a reputation as in...
So Teddy Hart's just developed himself kind of a negative reputation for being not reliable, not dependable, for not doing what he's supposed to do, and having some drug issues or having some personal demons or whatever you want to call it. And so he kind of just developed himself a reputation where people don't book him. Because, it's book and advertise the guy to have him no-show or to have him not in good form to wrestle. Okay. So he's been kind of rebuilding himself and rebranding himself and rededicating himself. And, I saw him several months ago at IWE in Maine, which I could not friggin' believe he was on the show. He had a great match. And then he's been wrestling for more and more promotions around New England especially. And in the Northeast, and then he made his Limitless Wrestling debut last month, or 2 months ago now, in September, against Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and had a phenomenal match. And now he's booked to go against Josh Briggs in a couple weeks, but he just posted on his Twitter today, and I'm just going to read this. So to all my fans and promoters, I'm writing this note to let everyone know what is going on right now. Please read it before you jump to conclusions. The last 5 months have been really great for me, and it's been a blessing for me to be able to reconnect with so many of my fans, promoters, and especially my friends, promoters, and especially my fans. I've never been in a situation like this where so many people have believed in me and been rooting for me and wishing for me to do well. Your smiles and high fives and handshakes have made this the most special time of my career. What many people don't know is that I have an ongoing court case in Texas due to my actions almost a year ago. I have tried to delay facing the consequences for as long as I can, but the truth is I cannot avoid it forever. I am going to be returning to Texas to resolve the situation, hopefully put it behind me forever. Hold on. I will not be able to make my bookings this weekend, and I am not sure about the status of the rest of my bookings for the rest of 2017. I'm thinking he's thinking if he gets jail time or gets put on probation, not allowed to leave the state.
Right, right.
I know a lot of people will take joy in saying I fucked up again, and a lot of people will turn their backs on me and say that they're done with me forever, and that's okay, I understand. I have to take responsibility for my actions and hope for the best. For those fans who will continue to believe in me and root for me, I hope you will pray for me and be there for me when I am able to return, which will hopefully be soon. I am sorry for letting everyone down, but I will do my best to make it up to those people who have been in my corner. I love you guys all, and I'll talk to you soon. God bless, Teddy Hart. So I feel like that's genuine and sincere, and I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know Limitless has posted that they've tweeted and retweeted that and commented, like, you know, we'll keep you posted what happens. I know Randy, you know, if he's got to get a replacement for Teddy Hart, we're already getting our money's worth if Teddy can't be there.
Right.
But for damn sure, he'll bring in somebody that you'll just be like, holy fuck.
Right.
Because that's what he does.
Right.
But I actually want to see Teddy Hart again. I want to see Teddy Hart against Josh Briggs. You know, these matches I've seen him at lately, and the matches I've seen online of him lately, you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed them. So, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. And it did rustling. Sound sincere.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just remembered what I want to talk about.
Right.
This week's Edge and Christian podcast, Tommy Dreamer talks about his Tales from the Indies.
Yes.
And about 27 minutes into the show is Tommy talking about a trip he was supposed to take in Maine.
Yes.
And that match was supposed to be October the 7th, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was a promotion for a show in Lewiston, Maine. And he doesn't name the promoter when he talks about it. But basically, to me, it was very interesting to hear that side of what happened. Because the show was supposed to be happened, and all these talent were booked. And, you know, it's just Tommy talking about how he doesn't particularly take bookings from people he doesn't trust or doesn't know. He demands a deposit up front, or else before he even accepts the booking. And I don't know. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing here verbatim. It's just I know the guy personally, and I just found it interesting. Tommy didn't outright shit on him, but he just used it as an example, as a cautionary tale for independent workers out there when it comes to accepting bookings and who you're going to work for, and on and on and on. And I just, I don't know. It tickled me a little bit. I found it funny because I was like, I know the part he's not talking about.
Right, yeah. And I was going to message you because I listened to that yesterday morning, I think, on my way to work.
Yep.
Yeah, yesterday morning, because that's the one with Goldie, right?
Yeah, I haven't finished it, but I'm midway through the Dustin Rhodes interview, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to, but then work happened and it slipped my mind. So I'm glad
work
you brought
does
it back
happen.
Up.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of earlier. I wanted to bring up. So, yeah. It should help. I should probably take to writing things down so I have my bullet points at least. But
yeah.
Regardless, so. Anyhow, I guess we're going to wrap it up this week.
Sounds
good. We're
going
to call it a show. Enjoy the pay-per-view. Let me know what you guys think about or what you guys think about Kurt Angle and AJ Styles being added to the show kind of last minute like that without any build, if it's hurt them down the line. I mean, these are kind of the things sometimes that if you look at it, WCW did, which hurt their company. And I know WWE's not WCW. I get it. You know, I feel like WWE's going to be around forever, but I don't know. Lost opportunities or missed moments, I guess.
Indeed.
Yeah. So you can find the show on Facebook at What Did You Watch. Please come over and give us not What Did You Watch This Week. That's my other show. Take two. You can find the show on Facebook at Podcast 1000 Holds. Come on over, give us a like. You can follow it on Twitter at 1000 Holds Pod. Come on over and give us a like. Give us a follow. And I'm at Superstar ML.
I am at Rombar316.
Aaron's at Aaron S. Bell. Paul's at Who's Paul.
Yeah. What's your blog page?
Oh, the wrestling. Oh, yeah. It's therustlinginsomniac.com. Please check that out. I just posted a post about the weakest booked world champion in the history of the WWE, Rey Mysterio. So go give that a read.
Yeah, I did. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think everybody should pay attention to it.
And also, I was actually on the Pro Wrestling Torch's website in the collectibles corner column. They did an article about myself and my wrestling trading card collection.
Cool.
Yeah, on the Torch.
On the Torch.
On the Pro Wrestling Torch. I'm marking out for myself on that one.
Yeah.
You know?
You're moving on up.
Yeah, well, someone, a friend of mine, Brandon, commented the other day. He's like, you're like a wrestling fan celebrity or something like that. I can't remember his exact words because, you know,
exactly.
Between the Torch and then I was in WWE Magazine back in 2008. And,
right. And then you had the Twitter war promo.
I guess.
Or feud,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
See, like, Mike, you're like the poor man's Conrad Thompson.
I guess so. I definitely don't have Conrad money, that's for sure.
Well, that's what I said. You're the poor man, Conrad Thompson.
Yeah, I'm a heavyset guy with a beard and a northern accent.
Yeah, right.
And not nearly the bank account. So.
Right, yeah.
Thanks for bringing up my deficiencies, Ronnie.
No problem.
Until next week, as Aaron Bell would scream at the top of his lungs, that's a podcast.